The book of Sirach was composed just about 200 years before Christ, so it's fairly late in the Old Testament literature. And it's part of what we often call the wisdom literature of the Old Testament. And the wisdom literature in the Hebrew Bible was heavily influenced by Greek wisdom, Greek philosophy. But whenever the Hebrew authors wrote about those same things, they always gave it a particularly Jewish twist, a twist about faithfulness to God. So wisdom in the Hebrew Bible was considered to be a participation in the mind of God. And likewise, love was considered to be a participation in the heart of God. And so in this particular passage we heard today, Sirach is suggesting that a lot of this has to do with our speech, with what we say. And he suggests that we can be deceitful about that. We can say with our lips all kinds of things that aren't true to our heart. So an evil person can sound good for a long time, but eventually, usually by some trial or tribulation, the truth is going to come out. And we're going to speak what's really in our heart. And so it's a matter of kind of being in touch with you, who you are at any given moment, whether you're speaking truthfully or not. And Jesus, in the very last line of that gospel, and this is the tie-in between these two readings, says that what we speak tells what's in our inner heart. Jesus also says in that gospel that you have to choose wise and good teachers. A blind person leading a blind person, they're both going to fall into a pit. So if you want the truth, if you want the light of God, then don't pick someone who walks in darkness. Choose your teachers wisely. And we've been given through the gospel, and through the church's tradition, and through the liturgy, the teacher, Christ. And there is nothing but truth and light and love that comes from his mouth, from his speech. And so we are disciples of his. We are learners. And Jesus suggests that eventually the student becomes like the master. And reflects the master so perfectly that one would think that they're talking to the master. Now that seems almost impossible for us. How could we on this side of the kingdom, how could we in this life mirror Jesus so perfectly that people would mistake us for him? And yet that's exactly what the gospel promises. That we will be like Christ, that we will become so much his body that people looking on us will think that they're looking at the head. But this takes years of discernment, takes years of prayer and faithful devotion and self-evaluation. So that's another thing that Jesus encourages us in that gospel passage. Learn how to evaluate where you are on this spiritual journey. Don't be concentrating on the speck in somebody else's eye when you have a log in your own. He's encouraging self-evaluation, being in touch with yourself. There's a tradition in the church that's existed from the beginning, and we call it examen, where you spend just a few minutes toward the end of every day of your life, evaluating how the day went in terms of your spiritual journey, in terms of your likeness to Christ. And so it's both positive and negative. It's reflecting on the things that graced you today and expressing gratitude for that. But it's also deeply and honestly looking at what you did wrong today. or in what ways you failed to do the good you were called to do today. And so as a result of that, on a daily basis, you're in touch with yourself. I sometimes give the example of someone who goes to confession and says, "Father, it's been 20 years since my last confession." "Okay, what are your sins?" "I can't think of any." "Is it that they haven't sinned in 20 years?" "No, I don't think so." They're just not in touch with themselves. And you can get so out of touch, even after a few months, but after 20 years, you can be so out of touch, you don't even know where you are in your spiritual journey. So again, the church encourages us to be on a daily prayerful basis with God, so that we're, at any given moment, we could be asked, "What are your sins?" And we could name 3 or 4. And likewise, at any given moment, someone could ask us, "Well, what are your graces? In what ways have you been graced?" And we could name 3 or 4. Because we're in touch. In this journey that leads to eternal life, it's a process. And let's not be too concerned about the success of our journey. I don't think God is all that concerned about success. He's concerned with the effort. You see, the end of the journey, the final success, that's up to God anyway. We call it salvation, and it's pure gift, and it's already been given on the cross. It's not up to us. So the final destination is God's. But the journey is ours. The journey is about where we are at any given moment. And are we cooperating with the grace that God is constantly giving us? Or are we pushing it away and rejecting it for the world? Are we trying to form ourselves? Are we trying to gracefully allow Christ to form us? If we're going to end up in the image of Christ, then we have to cooperate with that grace and we have to allow Him to form us. Because how could we even know what that should look like unless He should tell us? It's kind of a mystery. And so we gather around this table of mystery, these two tables really, the table of the Word and the table of the Eucharist, and we throw ourselves into the mystery. We allow it to wash over us like our baptism. And we allow ourselves to be transformed mysteriously into it. So some of it is practice, some of it is intention, some of it is determination, diligence. But let's not deceive ourselves into thinking that it's something we could do, ultimately. In that second reading, St. Paul tells the Corinthians, this is not something that you can do. He says, "Death, where is your victory? Death, where is your sting? Death has been conquered by Christ." And he says, "The power of sin is the law." What does he mean by that? The law, if you're thinking you can be saved by the law, then you're thinking that you can accomplish it by yourself. You can obey the laws, and then you get this reward. Paul loves to remind his listeners that while law is important and it's a good guide, ultimately, it's gift, it's grace. It's not something we can accomplish. However, the journey is ours. The cooperation with the grace is ours. The choice, the freedom to embrace that grace is ours.